Graham died 28th of October 2008, 29 years old. And then in the corner, there's another young man. The name is in glitter, so it is hard to read, but he was 18 years old, died February 2nd, 2012. I wish you could be in the room with me and see these bright, young, promising faces looking back at us that have been taken from us through police brutality. And these mothers have come so bravely, so eloquently, so graciously to say no more. Gregory Chavis again, age 19. Sean Bell, age 23. Michael Brown, of course, age 18. Archie Elliott, age 24. All of these signs, read these names. These are all men and young men and boys, really, that have been victims of police brutality. My name is Katia Stitt. We're awaiting our co-anchor, Askia Muhammad. And again, we're so happy that you're here celebrating with us this day for these mothers, for their sons. You know, the beginning of a groundswelling movement across the country. And this is a historic day. And we'll hear from these mothers a little later in the afternoon. But their courage is unparalleled. What they have come together to do, to say no more.
Okay, we're going to get started.
Now we'll go to the mothers.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you so much for being here. Again, my name is Nicole Lee, and I'm an international human rights attorney and the immediate past president of TransAfrica. And I want to welcome you today to what I consider to be one of the most important things happening on the Hill right now. We are honored to have these very special guests who are here to talk about their lived experience with police brutality and violence, to talk about their loss, to talk about being mothers of killed sons. On behalf of Code Pink, the Hands Up DC Coalition, DC Ferguson, and Mothers Against Police Brutality, I want to welcome you, both members of congressional staff, congresspeople, the media, and concerned citizens to this event. Today we are going to hear from mothers of slain young men who were really victims of police brutality. I'm going to introduce each one of them individually. We're going to have an opportunity for Q&A after we hear from about four or five mothers. I would ask that the Q&A session be questions, and we really have an opportunity to get into a good discussion with these mothers. First, I want to introduce you to Wanda Johnson. Her son, Oscar Grant, was shot in the back and killed by transit officer Johannes Malarese at a train station in Oakland, California on January 1st, 2009. Since the death of her son, Johnson has been active on the board of directors of the Oscar Grant Foundation, a resource for at-risk youth of all races who wish to turn their lives around in a positive way. Ms. Johnson, we welcome you.
To the honorable men and women of Congress, I want to first thank you for an opportunity to stand and share my story. It is with great pain and great hurt to stand here before you today. Always thought that my son would be burying me, but yet I ended up having to bury my son. In light of all the recent developments that has taken place and all the young African American and brown lives being taken, it is evident that we as a society must work together. To this end, the Declaration of Independence has been our inspiration. based on self-evident truths declared by the architects of our government. Every American has equal station in life, to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. This equal station in life is made possible by a universal morality that applies to all. As a result, our government and justice system was created to ensure that every American enjoys an unalienable rights to live, to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And today I stand before you to declare my son was denied that, and countless others have been denied that. And so I say to you today that we have to work together to ensure that the laws that are in place are effective, and those laws that are not in place, that are not effective, that we replace those laws and come up with some new laws that would grant liberty and would grant equal rights to all mankind. My son Oscar was a young man full of life, and many of the other mothers, and each of you in this room may have children. Your children are full of life. And we want our children to be able to have an equal opportunity. The Bill of Rights was a further constitutional measure that prevents governor actors from deriving us from our unalienable rights. However, despite this great mandate, the recent failure to indict officers for the deaths of unarmed African-American young men has made this country be divided. It has caused a sharply divide between us. As we look in the news and we see all the protests going on, all the different mindsets of if the officer is guilty or if the other individuals are responsible for their own death, has to come to some kind of end. There has to be something that we, that this great United States can do. Therefore, there are many recommendations that I have, that many of us who will be speaking today have. One of our recommendations that I have seen that's very important is that national reporting by local law enforcement agencies, that they account for and are held accountable for their actions when they kill unarmed men and women. We want a greater accountability for officers. As you can see, many officers who have killed our youth today of all nationalities are not held accountable for their actions. We see many of them are maybe transferred to other local agencies. We see that they often go on paid leave, and we must work together to ensure that they are held accountable for their actions. If our nation is going to come together as one, because we've said in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights that we are a nation who is together and not divided. And currently, as you look around, we are currently a divided nation. And so the way that we can become undivided is by looking at the processes that we have in place, the laws that we have in place, and begin to implement changes in those laws. When we look at how officers are put in their positions, we would like officers to have random drug testing. not just drug testing when they initially start, but random drug testing by outside agencies. We have found that the officers, because they're in a union, the union currently backs them up, and we have found that if officers are random drug tested by outside agencies, we can get a truer results. We have found that there is a cover-up in allowing officers to go ahead and kill individuals. So I say that not only do we ask for accountability, but we also ask that there be a federal oversight. Often because there is a lack of accountability on the state, we ask that a federal oversight would come in involving the death of unarmed civilians by law enforcement officers and the decision to seek a secret grand jury indictment be changed. We want it to be where officers will be charged and brought to justice by being in the court system where all can witness and see. Currently, with the grand jury in place, we don't have that opportunity to see and the evidence presented. And we, as mothers who have lost loved ones, would love for our the grand jury to be an open so that all can see that justice is being served currently. Again, I say to you, thank you so much. And please search yourselves and look at the laws that we have. And let's work together to change those laws that we have in place that are not fitting in our society at this time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Johnson. That really, really painted the picture of the policy issues and the real lived experience of these mothers. I'd like to now introduce Tressa Sherrod. We've heard a lot in the media about what has happened in Ferguson. We've heard a lot in the media about what has happened in New York. But at the same time, a young man lost his life in Ohio. This is the mother of John Crawford III, a 22-year-old who was shot and killed on August 5th, 2014, by police in a Walmart in Ohio. A caller phoned the police accusing him of brandishing a gun, but it was really an unloaded BB gun that was actually sold in that store. An Ohio grand jury decided not to indict the officer who was responsible for Crawford's death. And since then, Tressa has been pursuing justice. I want to welcome her. This is very new. This is a raw pain. And so I'd like to welcome her to give her remarks.
Thank you. I didn't write a speech. I'm just gonna tell you how I feel. My son had just turned 22 week prior to them murdering him. He was on his way to a cookout when a Ronald Richie customer decided he would call and say he see a black man carrying a gun in the store and pointing it at people, which was a lie. The police came in and shot and killed my son instantly. Instantly. Now we went to the grand jury with this special prosecutor, no indictment and no charges for Ronald Richie. None. He smirks when he does his interviews, like he did a justice for America. No. My son should be here. I should not have buried my son. I need America, American citizens, to stand up and fight this because the police have too much power. They are getting away with killing unarmed black men and children. Our prosecutors are never going to indict police officers because they work too close with them. Our Attorney General of Ohio, and I'm going to put his name, Mike DeWine. My son was killed in his town. So Mike DeWine decided to hold the video of the Walmart killing of my son for 45 days. He refused to release it. Our prosecutor, he agreed. They did not release it till after the grand jury verdict. So it's not just the police we need to do something about. It's the prosecutors, and it's our attorney generals, Ohio attorney general. I can't. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we'd like to hear from Constance Malcolm. She is the mother of Romarley Graham, who is 18 years old in 2012 when a New York police officer shot and killed him in his own home.